another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when ish gets real.
People get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
What is up, my pizzas? Yes. Oh yeah, that's the spot. This is Video Game Bang, brought to you by NerdReactor.com. What are you reacting to? If you're making weird faces at me, which most of the people in this room are right now, you should know that that is how good I feel about the Video Game Bang. Every time I start the show, it's as if I just took a bite out of the sweetest pie. Think of your favorite, everyone who's listening, everyone in the room, close your eyes right now, and I want you to think of a pie.
Apple.
I didn't ask.
Pumpkin.
I didn't ask you to say it out loud. I didn't ask you guys to say it out loud. Damn it, I didn't ask you guys to say it out loud.
Ice cream.
Ooh, and ice cream.
Yep.
If you're listening to this on your iPhone or whatever and you said it out loud, shame on you because you're just as bad as these two.
I like cake.
Oh.
You're just going to rain on my parade.
Nice cobbler, maybe.
Yeah.
All right.
I've never actually had
cookies.
Cobbler.
Cookies.
It's good.
You guys just ruined my thing. Everyone, just think of something you love, and that is what it's like to host this show for you. For the people out there in Video Game Bang land. We have a lot to do. We have a special guest on the show today. I want to thank everyone who's live via Twitch. If you can, share. Let people know what you're listening to. If it's on Twitter, on Facebook, however you do. Friendster, Tinder, I don't care. Just share. Say, hey, I'm listening to Video Game Bang. These guys don't suck as bad as you might expect. Joining me, as always, my co-host. I love him. The man is a myth. The man is a legend. He's the guy with the glasses who wears them all times of the day. Aaron Carter, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? They even asked me when I streamed the other day. They was like, do you always wear glasses? I said, do you always ask that question?
And what was the answer?
Yes.
Was sometimes. It a yes?
Yes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Actually, it's a little... I mean, it's become the thing, of course, but like when I'm streaming, they'll be like, I don't even know who this guy is. that's playing.
It's shades.
I'm like, that's good lord.
You can't play video games with sunglasses.
I know, that's right. That's why I was like, it's hard, guys. I can't play video games. So I put on my my little nerd glasses, which is the plastic on it.
The web face glasses?
Yeah, the web face glasses. And they're like, all right, that's a little better.
So. You heard his voice. He is the face of the web face challenge, which is, for some reason, one of the most popular things we've ever done.
It's storming.
I think it's pretty clear.
It's storming. Yeah, Aaron, clearly. Aaron got stopped at a convention, and someone was like, oh, Video Game Bang. I heard of them. Oh, the web face challenge, guys.
Literally. That's it.
That happened. I didn't make that up. How does that make you feel, Web?
So how Web
feels pretty damn good.
How
does it's about time I'm getting the recognition that I deserve.
As Kanye said, I think we just made you a celebrity overnight.
Yeah, I think so. Without doing the way that Kanye said that he did.
I think what I want to see now is when we go to our next con, a web flash mob. Make it happen, everybody.
Yes.
Make it happen.
Actually, you know what?
There's not enough pumpkin spice in the world to actually see that to fruition. And then, of course, rounding out our crew, our newest member. We love her. She's super popular and cool. And I don't know why she even shows up here every week because we're just a bunch of nerds. Jessica, the Maid of Might.
Well, my secret is that, and I tell this when people meet me at conventions, I always tell them that I'm much cooler on the internet than I am in real life. It's true.
I think that's true for most people.
And that's what they say.
Yeah, because really the internet is just a highlight of like your life.
Yeah,
like,
it's what I want to share with everyone.
If you just look at my Facebook, all I do is like go to basketball games and, you know, fun things.
All you do is win.
They don't see all the times I'm in the toilet.
I guess that's true. Thank goodness.
All the times people are in the toilet.
Get real bowel syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, we do have a special guest, and this is awesome. I love when we have guests, especially of the composer variety. We've interviewed so many great composers. I am a music man myself. I love music, and I think it's one of the most overlooked aspects of video games. But we have a man here who just... His most recent project is ReCore. He was the composer on ReCore. His name is Chad Sider. Welcome to the show, Chad.
Thanks, guys. Glad to be here. I'm watching you on the I'm watching you live on Twitch, nice. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and did you see we even posted your picture popped up on there?
Yes, it's terrifying. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Now the waving just arrived.
See, yeah, that's the hardest part is this goofy delay on Twitch. So bear with us. You'll see us do something like this, and then in 5 seconds you'll appreciate that. So, Chad, thank you for joining us on the show. You're, of course, a composer. The most recent thing you've done is ReCore, but you've done many other things. One of the major things is Star Trek. So give us a brief overview of who you are and how you got into this industry.
Yeah, I've been around a little while now. I've been working kind of professionally about 13 years, I guess. I first moved to L.A. back in 2003. My first day in Los Angeles, I was at the scoring session for the first Call of Duty game, actually. Way back when.
Wow. And were you the guy in there who's like, this is going to like get way overplayed?
I don't know, man. I don't even know what I was thinking. I was so excited. Here I am. I was 20 years old just walking into a recording studio, the Sony scoring stage, with one of my favorite composers, who I later went on to work for, and Michael Giacchino. And I'm just watching this giant orchestra play on the sound stage that the original Wizard of Oz was recorded on, even.
Wow.
And I didn't even know what was going on.
So you said the ripe young age of 20, you went straight into like the composition world. Did you know, like, were you musical your whole life? Were you like a piano genius kid, or were you like in a rock and roll punk band? Like, what was your like earliest music exposure?
I was a total computer nerd. I was like the opposite of piano virtuoso.
keyboard virtuoso.
Yeah, I did a lot of PC gaming. I grew up mostly with PC gaming, and I listened to a lot of film scores. I loved movies. Well, I still love movies, obviously. I used this old program called Cakewalk, and I would find MIDI files on the internet. Do you guys remember MIDI files at all?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were sweet. So I would go around and like find MIDI files of, you know, I remember one of the first ones I did was the Star Trek theme. And I brought it into Cakewalk, and I thought, all right, well, instead of the like soprano voice singing the theme, what if I changed it to a flute? And I could just do all these little fun tricks with MIDI. And eventually I was like, all right, well, I'm starting, like, I'll change it to flute, but now it doesn't sound very good, so I'm just going to have to start changing stuff so it does. Yeah. And I kind of just went down the rabbit hole that way, actually.
Wow. So that's awesome. That's incredible. You kind of were, like, just this homegrown kind of, like, oh, well, that's how you learned how music worked. Like, did you, obviously, you went to school later for it.
Yeah, I went to school a little bit, but I wasn't really happy where I was going, and I thought, you know, I'm going to just move to Los Angeles and get started. So I did that.
Holy crap. What the balls on this guy. Like, how does one reach that decision, move to, like, one of the biggest cities? Because, you know, one of the things we always get asked, like, about moving to L.A., and they're like, you know, you should go to L.A. That's where the opportunities are. But in my opinion, we always talk about, like, well, you're just kind of a small fish in a huge pond down there. How did it work for you being kind of an unknown, going to this major city hub of, you know, entertainment and music, and how'd you climb to the top?
I mean, I had no idea what I was doing, so that helped, first of all. And then, you know, I mean, but to, you know, to your point of moving, and you got to go to LA and being a big fish in being a small fish in a big pond. I mean, globalization is pretty cool. I feel like a lot of composers these days can do it anywhere, but at that time it was starting to become a little more global. But if you wanted to do film music, you had to be there, and you know, you just start meeting composers, and I had mentioned Michael Giacchino. He scored like The Incredibles, and that was his first movie that I worked with him on. That was in 2000. Well, I guess that was 3 or 4. You know, I just a lot of composers start their paths by working for other composers. So you kind of it's like a little bit of a mentorship. You just kind of train with the best, and and learn how it goes, and then just when you're ready to fly, you just leave the nest.
Wow. So are you flying at this point, or when was the project of yours where you're like, wow, I'm really a composer, I'm doing this completely on my own, like I'm not, the student has become the master type of situation?
You know, it's a slower path for me. I feel like I've done so many projects with so many people. I would kind of say Recore is that project, actually, where I feel that I'm finally flying.
That's awesome. So Recore, obviously a new game. I was impressed with it at E3. I haven't gotten to play the full release. I know critically it's doing well. It's came out at $40, not like a full retail game, and it's action platformer where you have a gun, but it's kind of auto assist aim, and you swap in between all these different bots. When you sat down and they were trying to, you know, help you see their vision, what were some of the things they told you that they wanted out of this piece?
Well, I mean, when we first got started, the game was in a really rough state, so all we were doing was really talking conceptually about it. Because I remember the first thing I saw was like a little guy moving around. It looked like a gigantic holodeck, because they had designed an open world, but there were no textures on the wall yet, so it was gray and blue, and it looked like a holodeck grid. So here's this little guy wandering around, and I remember just thinking, like, oh, what am I going to do? Because I didn't really have a grasp of it yet. And we started talking about music. I had started seeing, I had seen concept art and everything. And it looked awesome. I was really connecting with it, and I grew up on the Mega Man games. My favorite game of all time is Mega Man 2. So to work with Armature and Inafune-san, I mean, huge honor for me. From my little Chad would be really impressed, I think.
If you could go back and tell little Chad, hey, guess what you're gonna be doing?
Yep. I always think about that. So it was. I knew the music had to be really good. I wanted it to be great. And we wanted to do a rock score originally, like full-on rock score, and I was totally behind it. I thought it would be awesome. But as the game started developing and Jewel started developing as a character in the game, the main character, we kind of thought, well, let's expand it and do this like giant hybrid score with orchestra, and we recorded in London. We recorded choir up in Seattle, and I had an entire rhythm section, a band, and
wow.
And we recorded those all over the world, and vocalists, and it was crazy what went into the production of the score.
You seem like a younger dude. Like, how is it to command like an orchestra, like at being a younger guy? Like, is it hard? Do they give you the respect right off the bat, or is it something that you have to, that's difficult to earn?
I would say, yeah. You know, they, an orchestra is always a little skeptical at first, I think. They don't know what they're about to play. They're sitting down and they're going, when you record the music, that's the first time they're ever looking at it. They've
wow.
never looked at it before.
Wow.
So they go into the studio every day with a different composer and just play, and even for me, I was a little intimidated because in London, just the week before, they had recorded Sausage Party with Christopher Leonard.
Wow!
And Chris is such a great composer, so I thought, oh no, what? But I always equate it to riding a horse versus driving a car. Like when you write an electronic score or something and you hit the space bar to play your cue, it sounds the same every time. But with an orchestra, you have to treat them with respect, and you gotta let go of the reins a little, let them take some leverage, and then sometimes you gotta pull back and say, guys, come on, you know, things like that. So it's really collaborative, and you have to trust them, and they have to trust you. It's a lot of fun. I really like the responsibility involved.
It seems like it'd be very moving, like incredibly moving opportunity to do that.
It is. Most people I work with, they've spent so long making a game or a movie or something, and they're so caught up in the details, they often forget what they're creating. And they'll show up at the recording session, and there's this gigantic orchestra playing what we've been working for so long on, and they've been listening to synthesized versions, and they're just blown away, and they always walk away saying, "This was definitely my favorite part."
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would get so emotional.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of interviews with a lot of different composers, and your background seems very unique. And a lot of times, I mean, I don't think you have to be a major gamer to make a good video game score. Like, there's plenty of really great video game composers who, like, I don't play video games. But what I like, we got to talk a little bit in the pre-show, is that you are a full-on, like, retro game nut and tech geek even. You mentioned that you even have, like, a retro consoles that you have upgraded to HDMI, or how does that even work?
I've spent so much time on this. My wife, it just shakes her head. I love playing retro games and especially the early Nintendo consoles, NES, Super NES. I love the Genesis and the TurboGrafx-16. And I would hook them into my HDTV, and you know how that goes. It always just kind of looks horrible, and I just thought there's got to be a better way. So through the wonders of the internet, I learned that there are people out there who are phenomenal electrical engineers and video engineers, and they're building these new circuit boards that can connect to the original hardware of the NES and SNES. So they're literally soldering these parts into the NES and then 3D printing like an HDMI port out of it, or some sort of variation of that, getting upscaled to full HD. So it looks amazing. It's so cool. I highly recommend it.
I can't believe it. Like that's awesome. That and it fits right in line with like what you've stayed true to the whole time. Like you grew up playing with MIDI files, being a computer geek. And now you're, you know, a boss composer making these epic sound. Like, that's what we played before we started the episode. So if you guys listen to the podcast, watch the show on Twitch, you know, we play music before. And usually it's like little derpy do-to-do music. But we actually played the ReCore theme. And it was incredible. Like, Jessica was crying.
Oh, yeah. It's the most epic intro we have ever had.
Aaron was, like, just moving in slow motion. Like,
I'm always moving
for
in
no
slow
reason.
Motion. Oh, yeah,
he's just slow. But kudos. We did have a question from chat I wanted to get to. He said, ReCore was a lot of fun. Having sunk 40-plus hours into the game, it's clearly unfinished. The soundtrack was great. My question is there any music that did... That's a weird question. He put, the game was unfinished. I put 40 hours into it. Soundtrack was good. Is there any songs that you made that didn't make it into the game?
Yes. There are some. Some of them we just didn't. Some might not have fit anymore once the whole game comes along. This, by the way, is common in every game, that there's tons of tracks that don't get used at the end of the day.
What happens to those songs?
Oh, it's
Kanye,
sad.
Kanye buys them.
they sit forgotten on a hard drive on a server of a giant game company.
Oh, that's terrible. That's
and they get thrown into the next Call of Duty. Go figure.
Well, we're hoping to utilize them. I at least hope to utilize them. There's some DLC coming up or a patch, or I believe actually, and I'm hoping to get some in. So, yeah, it's kind of it's kind of sad, but I like that we can salvage it. So.
Yeah, it might be nice to have a little bit of a reserve left just in case.
So yeah, I think that too sometimes.
So he also wanted to know, and this probably goes beyond because you know you were the composer, but do you know of the intent on DLC or of getting that fifth Corbot?
Oh, I don't know what's going on with that. I just see the little coming soon thing on the core screen. So I hope they do it, because even in the art for the game, you see the little tank robot. So I hope I hope he gets some airtime.
Oh wow! Look at that! Catches me off guard every time. The gods have decided that it is time for us to play What You Playin'? That is the video gamey, the oldest segment of the Video Game Bang. This is where we go through one by one, talk about the games we've been playing this week. Goodness gracious heavens me. That was surprising.
Was it?
Yeah, it really
even
was.
Even though you pushed the button?
So when you moved your hand over...
Jessica likes to ruin podcast magic.
Illusion broken.
I you... think this Twitch stream ruins the podcast magic. Really. Wow.
Mr. David Webb, what have you been playing? I know last week it was Batman.
Yeah.
Are you still on the Batman train? What are you playing?
Overwatch. I switched back to Overwatch on PC.
Hmm.
Playing a ton of Overwatch. A couple hours a night. Went from level 18 to like 26 in like a day.
Yeah, and we talked about after the show on Saturday. We talked about we're starting a serious, not serious Overwatch team where Webb was gonna be our anchor. We were like, ah, we got no one else. We're gonna need to bring on Webb.
Jeez.
What can he do? Where can he
Way to just kick him in the
We were thinking
we got no one else.
We were thinking where can he cause the least amount of damage? You know, we looked at his KD ratio, we looked at his all of his stats, and we were thoroughly not impressed. We thought he was the worst player of all time.
Wow, okay.
Worse than
do
me.
Do you want to be on the team still?
But here's the deal. All of that in mind. He totally redeemed himself.
Horrible.
He picked Zenyatta, and he is, no joke, one of the best Zenyattas I've played with. His Discord orbs are on point just about every damn time. His kills are up there with the DPS. His heals are right there anytime. And if you're not getting the heals, if you say Web, heals immediately. It's like he just knows.
I just know.
So I was thoroughly impressed. I think even Jay Gist, who's our team captain, is like 3D printing you a Zenyatta orb.
Yeah, he is. I'm so excited for that.
So
it's Zenyatta is a fun player because I've been playing Overwatch since it came out. More recently, I played it on the PC, and
You did.
And I never played Zenyatta just because I was kind of like, I don't like that's being support is feel like it's a lot of pressure. And then somebody...
Why am I dying? Web sucks.
Yeah, why am I dying? Yeah. Or why am I dying? Oh, because you're, you know, a support, so you're squishy. And someone was like, just try playing Zenyatta. And I was like, I love this character.
He's good.
You don't want to meet him in a dark alley.
Now, we need to work on your variety, because sometimes a Zenyatta and a Lucio, you need something a little more powerful. But usually you're healing with our friend Joey Ferris, who is a Mercy. So
My healer of choice is definitely Mercy.
Yeah, and Mercy with Zenyatta is a perfect combo, because Mercy can get those heals like concentrated, and Zenyatta kind of, he's good.
I just follow the tank.
That's beautiful. I wish, and you're already smarter than most of the people in gold rank. That's why we need to get you in ranked. Aaron, what you been playing?
I've been taking it back to old school stuff. If anybody watched a stream last week, I was on the Sega Genesis playing old school games.
What were you playing?
I played Tecmo Bowl 4, I think it was. And I played Michael Jackson's Moonwalker. The most frustrating game to come out since the whole Michael Jackson trial.
That game was incredibly difficult, wasn't it?
It was extremely difficult. Yeah, there I got to a zombie level where the boss battle took me like at least an hour to beat.
I want to know from chat, and we're going to ask chat here too, what's the most difficult game, the most proud moment for you in retro games? Like, what was the most difficult game and your biggest accomplishment? Chad?
Well, it continues to be, I can practically speedrun Mega Man 2. So I've been working on really getting my run times down on that.
Oh, so you're working at run times at this
training.
Point.
Yeah, I'm full on speedrunning, and then I'm going to tackle the Japanese cartridge, Rockman 2. I want to get that down.
So what's the difference? Is there differences in the game?
Clearly he's Rockman. In Japan.
Not Mega Man.
Besides the intro, like
well, So if you remember, I don't know if you remember, Mega Man 2 had two difficulty settings. It had normal and hard, and Rockman is set to hard, where normally I can speedrun normal just fine. So I got to practice more, but it's, I still think it's harder than the American version of hard.
Usually they are.
They dumb it down
the Japanese,
for us.
Yeah, they do. That's why they didn't release the Super Mario, the actual part two over here, and they gave us the Toki Toki game or whatever, and call that Mario 2.
But hey, at least we got it. It's an awesome game. Yeah, Mario 2 is one of my favorites.
Yeah, thank you.
Just close your eyes and pretend.
Not too many people agree. They all say 3, but that's one of my favorite ones. Mario 2 is one of the best ones.
My favorite.
I actually like 2 more than 3. I like the controls of 2 more. 3 Smart feels man. A little laggy to me.
Smart man. Jeez.
Yeah.
Do we just become best friends?
You're going places.
Aaron, most difficult retro game for you?
Was it
Moonwalker?
I found that at a younger age when I played these games, they were easy, and I'd be like, oh man, I used to beat this game. And then now I'm like, all just like, I don't know what's wrong. I'm like, this is Dark Souls for some reason.
It's almost so simple now that you can't grasp the simplicity
I swear, if you rewatch the stream, people were like, why are you yelling? And I was like, I don't know. This is frustrating.
Because I'm playing Dark Souls, that's why.
I have a question. So do you find when you play retro games, like if you play a retro game that you didn't grow up with, do you have less interest in it? Or do you enjoy exploring retro games that you hadn't played before?
I like exploring them. Because I did that with the Zombies Ate My Neighbors. I never played that game as a kid, and I got it, and I was playing it on the stream the other day, and I was like, this is actually a pretty good game. I missed it as in my childhood. I mean, and then I got to a level with a gigantic baby, and it killed me, and I'm like, this is this is another Dark Souls game right here all over again. But they're extremely, the difficulty seems to be ramped up on old games from like the 90s and 80s and stuff like that. Like it's, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I'm too used to a full 3D environment or something like that.
I think there's something about like not having, being able to like save constantly.
Oh yeah, that as well. Off.
Yeah.
Oh, the pressure.
I saw a continue screen on Michael Jackson's Moonwalker and I was like, what is that? Like, what do you mean continue? Of course I want to.
Can't I just spawn from the last checkpoint?
Exactly.
That's what always gets me.
I got a game over. Never,
did
never.
Did you guys
seen
play
that.
Ori?
No, I never got to play Ori.
Oh my god, you guys have to play Ori. The way they did save points, I really loved. Where it takes like ability points in the game to do a save, so theoretically you could potentially not be able to save your game, but you can just always do it no matter where you are. So I mean it's a punishing game. It's so hard.
Damn.
So you can like save your game and then move on to the next point. Of course you're going to eat into your ability points, but it's like a give and take. So because you need your ability points for other things than saving too. So there's never any continues, but as soon as you die you instantly respawn from where you died. So you can just like keep jumping, or if you know, sometimes on the old retro games you kind of just, it's trial by fire, you just like do it and die and then do it and die and do it and die until you finally find the right combination of jumps. So that's nice. Like Ori,
you
it's
save
fun.
Like right before like a death pit or something, and then that you sucks. Just continually so, keep yeah. falling into it.
Yeah, or like a giant jumping puzzle or something.
Yep.
Jessica, what you been playing?
I'm still on Elder Scrolls Online. I just recently gave it a chance after all of the updates that it got, and they switched around the leveling system and all of the skill tree stuff. So I really like it a lot better.
Is it free to play still?
Now? It's free to play. You just have to obviously buy the base game.
Okay.
But I really like the dynamics a lot better than when I first started.
Is there a new DLC out, or is it coming?
There are
out?
A lot of DLCs out. There's I think Dark Brotherhood is out. Thieves Guild is out. I want to say so. It's getting more and more like the Elder Scrolls world that I like.
Oh, okay.
So as you get through the quests and things, get a lot more meaty. Like a lot more involved and cooler things that you get to do, like hence like Dark Brotherhood and the stuff that you love from Elder Scrolls.
Does it force you with other people, like, or can you kind of solo it for a long while?
Oh no, you don't necessarily need to play. Like you can group if you want, but basically all that you do for a group, you want them more for raids and stuff, but like quests, like I literally have just been doing quests solo for like the entirety of playing. Like,
nice.
You know, you can get in a group to chat with other people, but you kind of just do your own thing. And it's very much reminiscent of the Elder Scrolls games that I love. So
someone made me mad recently, and it had to do with the Skyrim remaster. So they're remastering Skyrim. And I put no weight into that anyways, because it's like if you have
just
it on PC, you've already got the 4K textures
yeah.
and stuff like that. So I wasn't excited. But then someone at work or somewhere told me, yeah, I don't know why they redid Skyrim. They should have redid Oblivion or what was
Morrowind?
The first one? Or Morrowind. Mm-hmm. And then that just pissed
me off. I would have loved that.
That just pissed me off. Because like, why the F did they do Skyrim before remastering one of those other games?
If they remastered Morrowind, definitely. Yeah. I'd probably cry, and then you'd never see me for a couple weeks.
Like, yeah, because I didn't even get to play Morrowind.
Yeah.
So I would rather have had that.
And like Oblivion even is so outdated now, like graphically, that like kids who are just starting out playing video games have never played Oblivion. They started with Skyrim.
I went back to try and play Morrowind, and this wasn't even recently. This was like back, you know, in my Halo 2 or 3 heyday, and I was like, oh, I'll try this game out because my friend had it. Let me borrow it. Back, remember when you can do that?
Yeah, I remember that.
You can still somewhat do that.
No, those days are gone. So he let me borrow it. I played it, and I was like, I cannot get into this. Like, it's just not as good as the other one. Like, it's so far of a regression of the gameplay that I loved in Oblivion that I couldn't get into it. So if they could have just added the mechanics of Skyrim to Morrowind,
right.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Because that would cost more money than
giving
I feel
like
a
some
texture.
Of that. Oh, sorry, guys.
No, go ahead.
No, you go.
I feel like some of the older 3D games from like the earlier time are kind of hard to go back to in modern times. So I agree. Like, I would have really liked to see Morrowind remastered. That'd be fun. I mean, Morrowind or Oblivion too. Any of those.
Oblivion
like,
isn't
I'd love
as
to play
bad.
Them.
Oblivion, I'd still like to have it.
Oblivion, I can still play, but
it's 2016, and Bethesda's the best company in the world. Why didn't they just do them all three and release them for one package so you could play through the whole story all?
They just
because
they're just dragging
that'd
their feet.
Be fun.
The people could not handle that.
Yeah,
it's true.
They literally could not even.
Yeah, they couldn't even.
I don't have like 1,500 plus hours.
The world stops.
True.
All productivity stops.
Corey, what have you been playing?
I've been playing this new game called Paladins.
Yes.
Oh, over.
No, it's
over.
Called, no.
Over the Storm.
No,
over Heroes of the Storm.
No, Paladins.
Watch
Paladins.
No,
watch over the Heroes.
Watch over the Heroes.
No, it's called Paladins. I actually like Paladins. You're gonna see us do some more Paladins coverage. Webb and I are like Nerd Reactor's official Paladins review guys.
Whoa.
So
yeah.
They gave us like 6 codes for Paladins. They gave us a bunch of coin codes to go through and experience.
So you guys got
the
a
game.
Bunch of skins.
We're gonna walk in and make it rain.
We're gonna be the dopest guys.
Digitally make it rain.
On the NA server.
With Smite.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, what you were with Smite is what we are with Paladins now.
I totally think there's room for two. There, Dota is still one of the biggest esports, and League of Legends is not hurting whatsoever.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
So there's room for two games. Paladins and Overwatch can do it. Overwatch is clearly going to be the biggest. But
you're discounting Battleborn.
Battle what?
Chad, what you been playing?
See? Discounting it.
Well, actually, I haven't been playing too much. I've been working a lot lately and traveling a lot. I have a traveling concert show called Pokemon Symphonic Evolutions
what?
That I do. Do you guys know of it?
That sounds awesome.
No, but it sounds amazing.
So we do all Mega Man stuff.
I called a. This is not a plug or anything. I've been traveling with it, so it's been eating a lot of my time. But the latest new game I've played was Rise of the Tomb Raider, which I loved.
Oh,
it might be one of my favorite games.
I want them to make the new Tomb Raider games into a movie. Like, those would be a great movie.
Yeah.
Camilla Luddington.
It's already kind of like a playable movie.
Yeah, Camilla Luddington's amazing.
But I read that they would have, like, Daisy Ridley play... Laura, at least they were talking about that, and I thought, no, Camilla Luddington would be great at it. I want her to do it.
She's already. I watched the like documentary about the making of the first game, and she like in the emotional scenes when she was playing them, you know, or you know, acting them, voice acting them, she was literally crying. Like,
yeah,
you know, she would rock it.
Yeah,
and she is super pretty.
I agree.
I I really like her on Grey's Anatomy.
So I'm so glad we have a composer here, because last week I introduced a new theme song to the next segment.
Oh no!
And I received some backlash.
I'm sorry, Chad.
Yeah, I was gonna say we apologize already for what's
happened. We're so sorry for this.
I want Chad's professional opinion.
I don't think you do.
I think I do. I think you guys don't understand.
I'm scared
because you guys aren't in the industry.
Yeah.
You guys don't understand it because you're not in the industry. Oh. Chad is in the industry. He's an industry guy. He's going to shower this with praise. Without any further ado, here is the theme song for our next segment, The Brain Bang.
Brain bang, brain, brain bang, brain bang, brain. You brain bang, brain bang, brain. You vote on Twitter, then we brain bang.
I like it.
Don't lie to him.
I've never wanted somebody's video on Skype to be live more than that moment.
I was going to say, I could have done it. I could have done live video.
The pause was telling.
No, the pause was Chad processing what he had just heard, because it's a little, yeah. It's sensory overload.
It's got that classic 70s rock sound with that 80s electronic twist.
Yes.
So, well done.
That's exactly what I was going for.
And those vocals, though.
Exactly. That is, of course, the intro to Brain Bang, where we look at Twitter. We ask you guys a question, and you guys answer it graciously for us. And usually, each member of VGB nominates a person or a topic, and we see who the people vote with, and then that's how you know who the voice of the people is. Usually, it's me.
Well, I don't know that you've won.
So.
Like, I think I win all the time.
No.
Really?
Delusions of grandeur.
Yeah.
He makes one theme song and he thinks he's the show.
Hey, I got approval from Chad Sider, who is the record. So just to let you know, I am booking. So if you need help,
oh, God.
I would love to be your prodigy. You know.
Well, hey, I'll tell you what. You know, there's every piece of music has something going for it. I mean, everything. There's something in everything.
What a great positive way to think that about is, that terrible song.
Are you in PR as well, sir? Is that what you?
what are you doing, January 2017?
Because somehow you feel he appeased you, but I still feel appeased. So we all love Chad still. He is good.
I think we just found a new candidate for president.
I think we did.
I'll do it.
So this
the Oval Office will be a recording studio.
This week's Brain Bang question is, who is the best female video game character? Pretty open-ended. Let's see. And then for the first time, wow, we have a change. So I got last place this week with 9% of the vote, Chun-Li.
Really?
Not very popular, I guess.
Yeah,
compared to the rest of the options, though.
Yeah, she pales compared to the rest of the options.
Dem thighs, though.
Those high kicks.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Just going to leave it there.
Yeah. Okay.
In third place, Aaron's vote, Samus.
Samus Aran. Yes. You know why? Only because the name. That's.
So you think it's a race
people
issue?
People associate it with terrorism? Is that what you're saying?
Probably.
That's awful. Probably. That's the worst thing
She's
ever.
She's the grandmother of them all.
Then, in second place, Jessica.
Really? I thought I would win.
Lara Croft, 30% of the votes.
I thought Lara Croft had it.
Lara.
Darn.
Surprising, but here, for the first time ever in VGB Brain Bang history, Other won.
The
Other
people.
One?
I love the game won. Other. Yeah.
Oh, when you see Lara Croft, you just vote for her, no matter what it is.
No.
Well, I feel Lara Croft honorarily owns that role.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, the new Lara Croft.
What other choices did they
get? Even like Angelina Jolie's Lara Croft, I liked.
Well, that was a movie.
I mean, she was liked for a different reason.
Yeah. Original Lara Croft was just triangle boobs, and we were all young, and we would have bought anything with triangle boobs.
What's the, what was some other choices that they integrated?
Yeah, I want to hear this other.
Andrew S. says he loves Clementine.
What is that?
Clementine's
from The Walking Dead.
Yeah, from The Walking Dead Telltale game.
Okay,
who is a great
that.
Choice.
Yeah, very good choice.
I gotta say.
I wouldn't put her up there just yet, though.
We've interviewed Melly Hutch, the voice actress. She's a great person.
Not as good as Lara Croft, just saying?
I think she is.
Okay, if one of these things beats Lara Croft, then maybe I'll agree with these other people.
Bayonetta.
No.
No.
Nascent Games says Bayonetta.
No, sorry, Nas.
Let's see. We got Shadow says Miyu Star Fox 2.
Who?
Miyu Star Fox 2, who officially does not exist. Amy Okami, Bayonetta, VF2 Sarah. So you're just showing off. Shadow1W2 is just showing off a bunch of obscure characters.
Oh, well, then their vote doesn't count.
Your vote doesn't count.
Yeah.
Just Laura wins. All right, so mine wins.
I like this one. GQ, he says, your mom in Pokemon Red and Blue.
Boom.
And added, all subsequent moms don't compare.
I vote Aya Brea from Parasite Eve.
Oh, this is a good one. First, underrated.
Not as number one, but she's pretty honorable mention.
My other option was Jill Valentine.
Oh, Jill. No one mentioned Jill. Neri, a great friend of the show, he says Kitana and Melina from Mortal Kombat.
Other classics.
And Shadow, again, pipes in and says, seriously, though, Virtua Fighter 2, Sarah had the best stage theme song ever. And posted a link on YouTube.
Her song may be the best, but she's not the best.
Yeah, she ain't the best. So that is how we play the Brain Bang.
Also,
I love it. Now I love it.
Does it grow on you?
Yeah, it does. Like, it's in my head. I'm going to be humming it.
We'll send you the MP3. You vote
on Twitter. No, we'll send it to Vinny.
It's like, please don't.
So I got to say, though, my other options, which I'm surprised weren't even mentioned at all, were like Princess Peach and like Zelda.
Elizabeth.
Peach gets kidnapped.
Elizabeth
all the time.
From Bioshock didn't get mentioned. Yeah, a lot of people cosplay.
A lot of good females.
That's why it's 2016. We got
or
so
even Zelda. Like, Princess Zelda has her own, like, freaking line. She's in Super Smash Bros.
But which do you have? So Zelda's a little tough, though, because there's so many versions of her. That's true. You got to pick a version.
The little kid one from
and why
Ocarina of Time.
When is she going to get her own game, too, kidding. Though?
That's true. I mean, like,
well, she
kind
has
of had one.
She's a badass. With
which one?
The CDI version.
Oh,
of Zelda.
Yeah. Listen, we don't talk about those. Those don't exist. Those never existed.
Now, Chad, people in chat are talking about my theme song. If you want to use that in like a future Star Trek or ReCore 2.
Are you trying to get the man fired from every project he wants the future work
no,
on?
No, I think that should be the new James T. Kirk theme.
Yeah!
I was saying, how do you envision that song fitting into Star Trek? So James T. Kirk is coming onto the bridge. And
he's like thinking about
song.
Something
no,
really
you know,
hard.
The scariest part is I know exactly what I would do.
Oh no! Oh. Don't say that.
Please enlighten us.
It would be a suicide scene for
me. Oh man, I would have the French horns blasting that bum 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 bum. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
That's what I'm talking about. We could change the lyrics. We could change it to Star Trek. Star Trek.
I don't think he wants lyrics at all.
Have James T. Kirk singing it as he comes
on the bridge. Did you guys know that the original Star Trek theme does have lyrics?
Really?
Really?
It does. You can look it up. They're really cheesy, but it does have lyrics. So what we could do is just reverse Trek it and then take the words out for James T. Kirk's theme.
Okay. I like it. See, this is why me and him would work so well together.
God. Let's move on.
All right. So we do have no theme song, unfortunately. I'm still building theme songs. So I will have you one soon, Webb. But this is Webb's News Corner.
All right. So.
And let's hit the big one. Let's do the Scorpio.
The Scorpio one. Okay. So Scorpio 1, so we all know Project Scorpio is launching next year, and PS4 or PlayStation announced their PS4 Pro, and after that Microsoft came out and said, yeah, ours is still better. So it's kind of causing some concern among consumers, particularly when it comes to the price. So in an interview recently, head of Xbox Phil Spencer said that you should not worry about the price. It's not going to be an unheard of console price, and in fact that they developed the Project Scorpio alongside Project Xbox, not Project Xbox S, but I'll roll with it, so that there was no like disconnect between the two.
What does this tell you?
Absolutely.
Well, what was the price point of the PS4 Pro?
PS4 Pro,
wasn't it like
still
$400 or something like that?
I think it was.
But then they're bumping the regular
other
PS4
down
100.
And so I'm thinking, I mean, when the Xbox One first came out, that was like, what was it? Like, I think I paid like $500 or $600 for
good gravy.
It.
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
I think my subconscious has blocked out how much money I actually spent on that damn thing.
Because now it's $250. Because
now it's an incredible amount. And
yeah.
I don't even use the damn thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking that's probably what's going to happen. And he's saying that it feels like a premium product, a premium console. And so the price is going, but I don't know. It's kind of like he said it, you shouldn't worry about it. But then he said it feels like a premium console. So then it's kind of like
$1,000.
Don't think it's super expensive, but it's not going to be cheap.
It's $999.
I'm going to go, and I think it's going to be $599.
That's way too much money.
That's way, how much way. Xbox One. I mean, Xbox One was like $499.
I would build a really good computer. Still, a really, really
yeah,
good computer.
At that point, the thing, right there.
It's because that's about how much I spent on my. I spent about $500-$600 on my computer.
To think that it's going to do the exact same thing,
right?
But just have a better quality of, or capability for quality of video. Correct.
Yeah, and they're going to be using different drives, and
is it going to make my gameplay any more fun?
It's going to look prettier.
Yeah, exactly.
It depends on your perspective. Some people like that. Some people, that's, they really like the pretty games. Doesn't matter.
I understand that.
But the price hasn't actually been officially announced yet, don't know yet.
We don't know how much it's going to be. That's the thing. It's like people are freaking out about it.
You can already tell, though. He's probably doing crowd control right now, and I understand.
He's doing what Sean Murray should have.
If they get everybody ready for a really hefty price tag, and then it's actually lower, then
yeah,
exactly.
I'd come out and be like, it's $700. And then, you know what?
We're cutting it 200. We like you guys so much.
We're cutting it $300. Yeah, just for you.
And it only cost $100 to make.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Probably less.
But still, I had a coworker who was asking me, should I wait to buy this? Because I don't have an Xbox yet. And, should I just wait to buy this one? I want to play Gears of War, And I'm like, just buy an Xbox now or something. If you want to play this game, Scorpio is not going to make it that much better. Just buy your Xbox now.
Chad, console or PC?
Well, I had always been a console gamer, but I've kind of actually, I built a gaming PC, and I've been loving the Xbox Anywhere. Running it on the PC. That's where I've been playing ReCore, actually, on Windows 10, which I love.
Yeah.
So I'm a big big Microsoft supporter. Even I there was a time I was using Macs for work, but when all my work software came out on Windows around 2010 or 11, I went back to Windows. Sayonara, Apple, kind of thing.
Wow.
So I would have to say I love the idea that you can play more stuff on Windows 10.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Before we go on, he's such great PR. The question was console or PC, and he totally just gave the whole.
And we all love him.
Just, yeah. You know what? I like the Xbox, Microsoft Anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I like all right. games. I see why you would say that. I like cool, constructs and cool systems, and I would love it if PlayStation did the same thing. It would look awesome, all those games
being able to in their full glory. Yeah
because they bump it down to 720, don't they?
They bump it down, the frames per second, everything gets
it's horrible,
the resolution. It's I'm really excited, and like he said, Play Anywhere seems amazing. I'm actually gonna pay the extra money to buy Gears, because right now, if you're an Amazon user, Amazon Prime anyways, you can buy a brand new $60 game if you pre-order it and get it for like $47 or something.
Whoa.
Like that.
Not bad.
Yeah, really? I think it's like 20% off or something. It's pretty significant. Like, when you look at it, you're like, wow, that's a pretty damn good deal. But that only works on physical copies.
Oh, it does work on a digital copy.
Yeah, and I think only digital copies are Play Anywhere, where they're compatible on the PC.
I think you're right. I think it is.
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah, I think you have to buy it first on PC. You can't buy it on Xbox, and then it goes to PC or something like that. I'm not really sure.
If you do the digital code version, buy a digital copy. And so, unfortunately, on Amazon Prime, you don't get that discount if you buy the digital code. But to me, I'll pay the full price to get that flexibility to play anywhere. I swear to God, we're not sponsored by Microsoft.
Well, what do you guys think of the PS4 Pro? Because this is kind of the first time that there's really been solid mid-generation consoles.
I don't know what...
Wait. This is the first time it's been solid what?
Mid-generation consoles.
Yeah, and it's significantly different because before, like, the mid-generation would be just like, oh, we made it slimmer.
Yeah, we'd make it slimmer or smaller, more power efficient, bigger hard drive, but you'd never see actual gains in the performance or design of it.
It's like you don't need an upgrade? Is that what we're trying to say?
No, if anything, I mean, I think they're doing it because they feel like they need a little more leg room to expand, but the question is, how do you feel about it? Because it's really buying a new console.
But who needs the leg room? Because it's not first-party developers that are, like, blowing up the scene with their games. It's all these third-party people.
Well, what's going to happen is, if you're using the original Xbox, you'll still be able to play the same games, or the original PlayStation 4. You'll play the same games that come out, except when you start the game, it's going to look at your hardware settings, and it's going to say, ooh, this is the old one. I'm going to run on medium settings, and this shader is going to be set to this so that it runs smooth. And then, on the other hand, if it boots up and it recognizes the hardware of a new PS4, it's going to give you ultra settings or whatever.
Yeah, but you're only going to see that if you have
an ultra TV. Yeah.
If you don't have
that. It's kind of just becoming PC gaming, really, exactly. If you think about it.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's been saying that for years, like even since the 360 and stuff like that, when you were able to stream your, you know, when it was like an entertainment system. You got Netflix and everything on there now. Consoles are definitely slowly evolving into that. I don't know... if they'll ever make that full conversion over there.
I think we're getting closer to because the full conversion.
I think the companies like that lockdown.
Yeah, there's less modification you can do.
Yeah. They like to keep their prisons tight.
I think we're always going to have like a Xbox or a PlayStation, but it's going to get closer and closer.
I prefer PC gaming, but I still have a console.
Exactly. One console to rule them all. That's what we need.
PC.
Well, I found the experience for PC gaming, at least for AAA, I mean, it's exactly the same as on console. I use my Xbox controller and just it, you know, the button icons are even the same. It feels exactly the same, if not really better. I mean, Rise of the Tomb Raider looked awesome, but I spent a lot of time picking which version to buy. I looked at like the Xbox One versus PC, and I guess soon we'll have a PS4 version in there to take a look at. Yeah. I think later this month. So I find it really interesting that there's going to be so many choices to choose from for, you know, how you want it to look.
I think you pretty much just summed it up. That nails it. Webb, we got one more quick one.
All right. So Overwatch Open just ended, and Team Misfits won the first Overwatch Open. They win the largest share of the $300,000 prize pool, which amounts to $100,000.
To split between five people?
Yeah.
I'd take it.
Yeah. Yeah. European League team?
Yeah. America came in second.
Nice.
Envy us.
Yeah, that's how it worked. The EU had their tournament, and the winner from the EU played the winner from the NA, North America, and then that's the finale.
That's the finale.
We were playing at the time that the final was happening. It looked like it was neck and neck for a while. Misfits pulled ahead. I'd really hope for America's sake and the growth of esports in our country that North America just get a little bit better so that it doesn't turn into soccer, you know,
have you guys been to an actual esports event?
No. I've only been to local grassroots type tournaments.
So League of Legends did an esports event here in Los Angeles, and they had an orchestra on stage. My wife conducted it, actually.
Nice. That's
so cool.
And I went to it, and I was, you know, just a guest, and they had a whole behind the scenes thing, and there was a bar, and lots of televisions and giant screens actually playing these tournament things and they had announcers, it was insane. I felt so strange because I felt like I was at an extravagant Super Bowl party.
But, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, but there's League of Legends on the screen.
Esports is real, man, and it's growing right now. There's been a lot of crazy developments in the esports world with, you know, NBA teams purchasing esports teams and a new league being created, the ESL. But seeing them get together and do this, we're going to have the World Cup for Overwatch at BlizzCon. Which, yeah, that's really like putting national, because really I think you get a better idea once you see America's best going against Europe's best, like,
right,
the dream team, so to speak. This was just, you know, American teams, and, you know, chat in Twitch was picking up on it pretty early. Anytime someone whiffed a shot or something like that, or an ult, you know, all the chat would just spam NA ult.
Yeah.
North America ult. Oh, look at this. North America ult. And then anytime a play was really good, everyone in chat was like, oh, EU ult, EU, yeah, ult. Like, it's just the culture now just accepts it. And when everyone says it, it makes it a thing. And when it becomes a thing, it becomes reality in people's head. But I think we need to, America, Americans, if you hear my voice right now, play more video games.
Do it.
That's the problem. All right, that's the
solution. I like it because when I grew up, I didn't watch any sports. It wasn't really a thing in our household. And I've found I really enjoy watching esports. Like, it's my sporting event.
Yeah.
When you were at the event, did you like actually sit in one of the like seats and just watch the screen, or were there other things to do there?
You could do that. They had, it was like a, it was at USC here in Southern California. Nice. And it was like a 10,000 seat stadium. And on the basketball court, they had built a giant stage and all the guys were sitting up there, with the PC, you know, in front of PC screens and just playing the game. And they had a commentary booth and someone, you know, there were two people there, going through the matches and everything. And you could just sit there and watch it. They had the bars open, and so it was like a full-on sporting event in the stadium. Because my wife was conducting it, I was like, I got to go in the VIP room, and so there was like a summary board of everything going on.
Wow.
Nice. And it was really, it was really impressive. I have to say, I was really blown away at it. I'd never experienced something like that before.
And the fact that they have like a live orchestra too, I mean, that's so cool. Epic.
So we have one more segment, and I'm going to introduce one more brand new theme song.
Oh, no.
And
are you guys ready for this? I heard it earlier.
I let Jessica hear it because it's her theme song. I made it. I commissioned it for her. I'm so glad Chad is here because I really need a professional
PR
ear.
Chad.
Well, if it's Jessica, she should be the final.
No,
voice.
Chad, yeah. I think I'm putting you on the spot here because you have a musical background, and I respect you so much.
Wow.
Plus, you don't want to hear my opinion about it.
Whoa.
Here it is.
Jessica made of mind collects comics of every type. She picks them up for you, and then she does this review on Video Game Bang.
Jessica, she done made a mite. She don't put up a fight, doing cosplay every single day. Up and down the USA from California, I ate 100K on Instagram, that ain't easy to do. She used to rock solo, now she with the VGB crew.
Alright. Chad, I don't know how you are at breaking down hip-hop rhymes.
Oh, good lord.
That's what I like to call them.
What I find more impressive than the hip-hop portion of that was what you chose, the source material you chose to sample, the Reading Rainbow theme.
Yep. When he told me it was going to be Reading Rainbow, I was like, that kind of makes sense. And I pictured this whimsical, like, yay, comic books. And it's much more hardcore than I am.
Here's a fun fact. That was a freestyle.
I believe it.
Oh, no, yeah.
I assumed that, yeah.
I think we all assumed that.
There was no question.
Yeah.
Nobody was saying
if that was premeditated, that's terrible. It's terrible either way.
Well, we get to hear it every week now.
I will.
Get to or have
don't
to.
Don't you? Yeah.
Phrasing.
But you know what? Listening to that before my segment is going to make me seem way cooler.
It's true.
So this is, of course, a segment where, as I explained in the song, Jessica goes and collects comic books of every type and describes them for you. So what do you got this week, Jessica?
Okay, I actually have a hefty stack. And in fact, there were more number ones this week than there have been in a long time.
So we're
going to
do the speed round.
So we're going to go real quick. Okay. Bam! DC is having this really cool DC's Young Animal sort of theme going on. So they've done Doom Patrol. They are doing all sorts of kind of like off comics that aren't necessarily mainstream. And so Shade the Changing Girl came out today, which is probably one of the weirdest comic books I've ever read. Artwork was great, but it was so weird.
All
right. We also, from Marvel, we have Jessica Jones, number one.
Yay!
So this is steaming off of the, what do you call it? TV show, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I haven't watched the TV show yet, or Netflix series, rather. But the comic book is really cool, and it's making me incredibly intrigued to actually watch.
Are they related?
Any cameos?
I don't know, because I have not watched the Netflix show.
Jessica.
But they're talking about, yeah, there are superhero cameos. We have Ms. Marvel. We have Jessica Drew, who is Spider-Woman.
Why haven't you watched the Netflix show out of curiosity?
Because I am a student and have very little time, so I just finished Daredevil.
Oh, okay.
And so now I gotta go watch it. I will watch it. I just have not yet. But that was a really cool. I liked reading the comic book. They're talking about her child in there. She just got out of prison, and they're trying to find her child. So I don't know if that relates to the Netflix series at all. Don't tell me, because I'm gonna watch it. All
right.
Okay. Next, this is one I've been real excited about ever since I heard about it at Comic-Con. Deadpool Back in Black. So Deadpool is getting attached to the symbiote again and giving him some Spidey powers, and it is a real hoot. I just read it. And
I love the Back in Black, the AC/DC.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So Deadpool is always great, and now that he has spider powers, he's going to be even better. So I think this is actually a limited run. I don't think this is an ongoing, but it's really definitely, this one is a pickup on my list for sure. Next, we have a couple more indie ones. We have two Image books. We have Cannibal and Moonshine. And both of these are kind of like, they remind me of like Deep South books. Cannibal is obviously about a cannibal in the Deep South, and it's actually very interesting. And then Moonshine is more about Moonshine and the whole crime ring. And there's a detective that is trying to, you know, stop the people from making moonshine, and ends up discovering a murder and all this awesome stuff. So these two, also Cannibal and Moonshine, came out today, and they're also very good.
So nice. What's are they all buys this week? Can we clean sweep it?
The only thing that I gotta say is that the Changing Girl was weird. I don't even understand what it's about. So this one I might hold off on, but the other ones are all buys for me. All
right.
Nice.
Clean sweep. Well, that was a great show. That was a fun hour. Chad, you fit right in with the VGB crew.
Hey, thanks
crew.
For letting me be the Alice in your Brady Bunch.
Oh. if that analogy was true, Webb, you'd be Cousin Oliver. sorry. I just had to. Aaron would be the mailman and the milkman.
I don't even know these characters.
Yeah, I know that there are like six of them. Six kids.
There's a lovely lady with three children. Then, okay.
Yeah.
Just know Marcia and Jan.
Just watch the movie. They're just as good as a TV show. Chad, please tell everyone where they could find you on social medias and the internet in general.
My website is chadsider.com. There's a lot of stuff there. I put most of my music on there. There's tons of projects I've worked on. Star Trek, Lego Jurassic World. I do a lot of Twitter. I love Twitter. At Chad Sider. And I do Facebook. You can follow my page at Chad Sider Music.
Awesome. You guys, I will put the links in the description of the podcast below, so feel free to check it out there. Thank you guys. This was a fantastic show. Anything else we need to promote? Oh, of course, our sponsors. We got to give them a shout out. Nerdreactor.com and Antlion Audio and Oblivion Comics and Coffee, Aaron. Not Coffee and Comics. Oblivion Comics and Coffee.
Oh, it's coffee or
no,
comics first.
No, yeah, comics
then
first.
Coffee.
Then your coffee second. And they're going to be opening very soon. They've got some big announcements. They're moving, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm so excited for the launch of that store. Anything else to promote? Twitter @VideoGameBang. Facebook.com/VideoGameBang. Follow us on iTunes. We got a new video. We actually, I revamped the YouTube. We went through and we cleared out all the stuff that was copyrighted, and we are clean bill of health. You can check out our new unboxing video, and hopefully this week we will be posting a review done by our friend Carla Von Guerra. But that's it for The Real David Webb, Aaron Carter, Jessica the Maid of Might, Chad Sider. My name is Corey Vincent, and you've just been banged. And I didn't time it perfect.
No, you didn't.
I'll fix it in post.
I still like it.